Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 365, stanzas 1 through 4. From the depths my prayer ascendeth unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. 1 through 4 of Psalter 365.
Thank you.
Scripture reading for this afternoon hour can be found in the book of Revelation, the 21st chapter. Revelation chapter 21. But first, we will make confession with the 12 articles of our Catholic, undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven, saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people, and God Himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And He that sat upon the throne said, Behold, I make all things new. And He said unto me, Write, for these words are true and faithful. And He said unto me, It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, Come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal, and had a great wall and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the walls thereof. And the city lieth 4 square, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. The building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, and the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, and the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth a topaz, the tenth a chrysoprasis, the 11th a jacinth, the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, it is for us an incomprehensible mystery when we read what thou hast revealed to us in thy holy word concerning and the culmination of thy kingdom, the bringing together of all things into that eternal glory, which is laid away for thy church in a life everlasting. And then it is for us as creatures that are so carnal, so far above our understanding and comprehension, but that it also may be given in our hearts as that which draws us to seek thee, that we might know what that eternal glory and joy is of thy church. When thou dost say that thou as the most high and eternal and holy God dost make thy tabernacle with men, and thou knowest what man that it is not he that has remained standing in his holiness and perfection of his creation, but it is that man that has fallen away from thee, and who has made himself worthy of being cast away from thy presence forever and forever, because the wages of sin is death, and it is experienced by each and every one of us, that there is a great separation between thee and us because of our deep fall. But it is not our burden, except that thou wilt make it so by thy regenerating power. Oh, that we may not be strangers of that burden that misses thee, our Maker, and that we may desire that we may be reconciled unto thee again and brought into that blessed communion and into that relationship wherein we can receive thy favor once more. Oh, do bring us as that prodigal of old to our senses, that we may arise up and say that I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and that it may be our desire to be even as one of thy hired servants. Lord, that thou may open to us our guilt, that we may learn to come in true humility before thee, undeserving of the least of all of thy notice or attention, and that we may be received out of a free and one-sided work of grace, wherein thou art pleased to show mercy unto those who have sinned themselves on the outside, because of a work that has been accomplished by thy only begotten Son, a work that is so perfect that it is to the satisfaction of thy everlasting perfections, so that thou art so well pleased, that thou art willing to cleanse those that have made themselves so filthy, and to forgive and put away their sin as far as the east is from the west, and to bring them once again into that blessed reconciliation with thee. Lord, it is a wonder for which that people will magnify thee forever and forever. And then all their unworthiness that shall make them to sink away under all thy mercy and under thy grace. Oh, that it may be experienced in a small measure already, here below by each and every one of us, and that we may not be strangers of that which we cannot miss, shall it be well with us for that great eternity. Lord, look then on young and old together as we travel in a world that is drawing our natural and wretched hearts to seek that which is passing away, to seek that which is sinful, to seek that which is against thee and to our eternal destruction. And then it is a warfare which must be fought by thy children. But when our heart is yet dead in sins and in trespasses, then we can fight no warfare. No, then our heart that is so inclined to follow after this world, and it is so necessary that we be born again, and that thy strong arm may be stretched out on our behalf, and that thou would take us from the wretched inclination of our nature, and that thou may make us willing in the day of thy power, that sin may become hateful unto us, an abomination, and all that maketh a lie as it is unto thee, and that we may seek that which is right and holy, just and good. Oh, that thou may instruct us young and old together, because the time that is quickly hastening away, and we go each one to our long home, and we know not the moment of our death.
Lord, look upon those that have become old. Oh, give to them a holy earnestness in a special way about their life. Oh, we know that the older we become, the colder that our heart becomes. But there is nothing that is too hard for thee to break. Lord, that thou may remember them in their old age, when they must say that the way they do know in their mind, having heard it their whole life, but that way that has never been brought into their heart. Oh, that thou may thyself look upon them, and that thou may work a wonder even in the days of old age. And do look upon each and every one of us, for our hearts, they are not those which are enabled to break themselves or to soften that which is so hard. Lord, deadness can only be made alive by thy Spirit. And this we beseech of thee in thy house of prayer. And may it be not only for the first time to be taken out of nature's darkness and into thy marvelous light, but may it be also in the midst of that new life, which does wane so often upon a bed of slothfulness. Oh, that thou may reawaken thy church, and that thou may give them again to run after thee, to seek thee in the streets, and that their hearts may be brought with weeping and with supplications. Oh, look then upon us in thy mercy, as congregation and as denomination, and that thy Spirit may come to revive thy own work in the midst of the years. Look thou upon us also in a natural way, in all the needs and the cares of this life. And be with those that have been married in the week that is gone by, and also those who hope to be married in the week that is to come. Lord, that thou may thyself give that love, and that is necessary to grow day by day through all the troubles, afflictions, trials, and tribulations that shall come against also that holy and blessed institution. And that thou may give that the work of Satan to destroy thy institutions may be put away by thee, and that thou may bless each one of them in thy favor. And wilt thou look upon the ground for our sakes also, for thou knowest the need for rain once again. Lord, thou hast given it unto us before, and now the need is the same once more. Oh, we ask it of thee, and that thou may give from above that which it is not in our power to give unto ourselves, but that which we are so dependent upon thee for. Then it is true that our sins rise up against us, and that we deserve day by day that thou shouldest never hear us, and when we go on in the wretchedness of our ways. But have thou dealings with us in thy mercy, and bring us again. And could it please thee to provide the necessities of life for us and for our children, and then also for those in this world that have not enough, that thou may remember them also in their places and provide as the God of the heavens and of the earth. Look upon those that have not thy word. And could it please thee to bring thy word to the ends of the world, and that those that are still in the darkness of this world may be given to hear the light of thy truth. Be with all those that labor in thy kingdom, also in the other part of our own congregation in this day, he that brings thy word from Sabbath to Sabbath there in the reading services, but also in this day when thy servant will labor there. And wilt thou look upon him that will bring thy word also in the Spanish language, that thou may bless thy word. Also, thy servants over the length and breadth of this whole world. Lord, go thou with us also in this afternoon hour. Thou knowest that of which we are called to speak, of the mysteries that are for us too high. Oh, that thou may thyself come in with thy word, and that thou may give in the heart of each and every one of us a holy jealousy for the blessed portion of thy people. And though our minds cannot comprehend, and that our hearts may be drawn by thy Spirit, and that thou may keep us from all iniquity and sin and from self, and that thou may bring thy glory unto thyself, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 164, stanzas 2 through 4. I long, as in the times of old, thy power and glory to behold within thy holy place, because thy tender love I see more precious far than life to me. My lips shall praise thy grace. My lips shall praise thy grace. The last collection today is for our school. Psalter 164, as stanzas 2 through 4. Thank you.
congregation, the throne of David was reserved for him by the Lord himself, as he was to be the future king of Israel. And that throne was also preserved by the Lord for David. But he was not to come to sit upon that throne immediately. That was set for a future time. But the Lord would give David preparation for that time that he would sit upon that throne. We know, children, that he was brought in the providence of the Lord off of the fields where he has taken care of the sheep long before that time that he would sit upon the throne. And then he was brought into the house of the king. Well, there David may become accustomed to the house of the king. And there David may also receive something of a token, that he may look forward to that time, and that he shall receive this kingdom. It was the good pleasure of the Lord to give unto David such a preparation, and to give unto David also such a token. And why does the Lord give him this? Because not only will that be some time before that David will receive that throne, but the way that will go to the receiving of that throne is a way that will go through affliction and through trial. We know that David, before that time comes, is going to be, even in the providence of the Lord, hunted as it were as a partridge upon the mountains. So that there will come even a time that David says there is, though he knew that that kingdom was promised unto him, and though that he was anointed by the servant of the Lord, by the command of the Lord himself, yet a time that David truly believed in his own heart that there is but one step between me and death. There is a blessed portion that is laid away for that true church of God. It is a portion that is not to be received by that church immediately. No, the time is coming when everything is going to be given unto that church which is promised unto them by the Lord. And yet there is a church that still has to wait for that inheritance. And now it pleases the Lord to give unto his children, as he gave unto David, an earnest of that inheritance. A little taste, as it were, of that portion that he is going to give them to enjoy to all eternity. That is, that they may taste it already in this life. And that he may give to his church, that they may thereby look forward to that time that they shall receive that kingdom. Why is it that the Lord deems it necessary and profitable to give such tokens unto his children? Because that promise that is not received immediately, and not only not received immediately, but the way is a way that will go through many trials and many tribulations. times that they will fear even for their own life. And though that the Lord has given to them a promise, perhaps, though the Lord has given to them tokens, though they have been given to hope upon the mercy of the Lord, and to look forward by times to the receiving of that kingdom, still times in which they themselves will say by moments, I shall now one day perish at the hand of Saul. That is, that they think to never receive that kingdom. Thus, the Lord is upholding His church as they are going through this life until that eternal inheritance may be received by them. And this we wish, with the help of the Lord, to consider with you in this afternoon. Out of Lord's Day 22, the 58th question. Lord's Day 22, question 58. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? Answer, that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, after this life, I shall inherit perfect salvation, which I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. So far, our Lord's Day. Life everlasting. First, life everlasting defined. Second, life everlasting tasted. Third, life everlasting perfected. Life everlasting defined, tasted, and perfected. Life everlasting. That is what is written, congregation, in our creed. I believe the life everlasting. That is part of our confession. And if that is then our confession, we ought to know what our confession means. Otherwise, we do not know what we are saying. However, that does not mean that we necessarily will understand everything that we confess, young people. That is not necessary. Today, we have mentioned that lately. Today, the thought is, you understand it not, you believe it not. But that is not so. We know in this world there are many things that we do not understand, and yet we believe them. Many things in nature, many things concerning our bodies, the heavens, and those things which are so very mysterious to us about nature. And yet we see them and we feel them and we hear them and indeed we believe that they exist. No, there are many things also in the Holy Scriptures which we still do not understand, and yet we confess them to be the truth. We believe them. You say, what ground? What foundation that do you have then to believe it? That is simple. That is, the ground that it is that holy word of God. Thus, simply because God has spoken it, and therefore we believe it, life everlasting. Life everlasting, that is also something that we cannot comprehend possibly in its fullness. And why not? Because of our own carnality, because we are of the earth, earthy.
and life everlasting that is so very spiritual. And yet we believe and we confess that life everlasting is something which exists. Life everlasting. What is that? We say life everlasting defined. Thus we have two words. We have life and we have the word everlasting. And we need to define what we mean by these two words. So first, life. What do we mean by the word life in the expression of God's word, life everlasting? Well, we know we have a natural life. And we know there is what is called spiritual life. Thus, first, natural life, what is that? What does that mean for a man, for a person to be alive? That means that he has not only a body, but that it means that he has also a soul within that body. That is what it means to be alive. Because when man dies, then there is a separation. And when that soul is separated from the body and returns unto God who gave it, then we say that a person has died. Thus, death is the separation of the soul and body. Life, then, is that union of the soul and body. That is so, of course, for every man in this world. That is so for God's children. That is so for the reprobate. Every man that is alive has both a soul and he has a body. And therefore, it cannot be that this is the full extent of what the Scriptures mean when they speak about life everlasting. That it has to do with merely our natural life. Then there must be something more than just natural life, the union of the body and the soul. Indeed, it has to do with more. It has also to do with spiritual life. And what is spiritual life? Spiritual life is also a union. It is a restoration. Spiritual life is a union not between the body and the soul, but it is actually a union between God and man. Spiritual life is the restoration of the image of God in man. Thus, the Holy Spirit coming to take up his abode, his tabernacle in man. That is what we read together. The wonder that we have read together, that it pleases the Lord to dwell with men. Thus, once again, a union, a natural union of the body and the soul being natural life. This union, the Holy Spirit coming to dwell within the soul and restoring the image of God, this being spiritual life. That is a life to which man is quickened, and you hath he quickened, we read, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And just as in natural life, that when a man lives, he is given a certain ability, children, when a person is dead, then they have not the abilities that you have when you are alive. Then they cannot see. And they cannot hear, and they cannot speak, and they cannot feel. That is so also with spiritual life.
when we are spiritually dead, then we cannot do what those are able to do when they receive spiritual life. And when the Holy Spirit is coming to dwell within the heart of a man, then he is giving unto him a spiritual ability, an ability to see reality, an ability to receive the true saving impressions from God, who that God is, who that He is Himself, the ability to love, the ability to desire, the ability to hunger and to thirst after spiritual things. Thus, life. Then we have life everlasting. What does that mean? The word everlasting, or we use the word eternal. Well, it is possible that we use that word in several senses. The word everlasting, then it is possible that we mean by this that there is no beginning and there is also no end. The way that we use the term in this sense has its application unto God Himself. God who has in Himself no beginning and no end. Then it is possible that we mean by this word that is something that has a no beginning and yet it has an end. Then we still may call it from everlasting, then we still may say that it is eternal. In this sense, there is application to many of the decrees of God. Those decrees which were from eternity, but which have their fulfillment in the time that they come to an end. Then it is possible when we use the term everlasting that we speak about something that has a beginning, but that it has no end. Then we are speaking about man and about the angels who have been created with a soul, a spirit, which is never to die. And now it is in this last sense that the Scriptures do speak using this term everlasting when it speaks about life everlasting for man. That is, a life that will never end, but it has a beginning. Thus, life everlasting, what is that? That is not then just merely a continuation of this life. Life, indeed, our natural life is going to be continued. It is going to continue. We are going to live forever and forever. Yes, for a little time, perhaps, we will sleep, just children. Like in the night, when we go to bed at night, and then we go to sleep, but in the morning we arise again. So it is when we will die. Then for a little time, for a short time, and then our bodies will lie in the grave. But just as we wake up in the morning, and so we are all going to wake up once again. And what then it will be for a life that is never, never going to end. Thus, life everlasting. However, that life is not merely just a continuation of this life. If that were so, then it would be the same for God's children as it would be for the reprobate. Thus, what is that everlasting life? For the reprobate, we read it will be everlasting death. What does that everlasting death mean? Does it mean that it is just an everlasting separation of the body and the soul? No. No, for the reprobate, the body and the soul are also going to be joined together forever and forever. Thus, it will be also, in a certain sense, for them an everlasting life. They will wish that they could die and the separation of the body and the soul could take place, that they could be exterminated and have no existence, but it will be impossible. But what will be then that everlasting death? That will be that second part. That is, that the soul will be forever separated from its maker. That it will forever and forever feel the wrath and the condemnation of God instead of His communion and His favor. Thus, in one sense alive and in the other sense dying or dead, or we would say a living death forever and forever. Thus, life everlasting, what is it? Oh, that life everlasting, then that is an eternal union, an eternal communion between God and man, a soul which has been reunited again unto its body. Man who has resurrected from the dead, who has been joined once again body and soul, and then forever to be joined also unto God. Then there will be a perfection of that knowledge of God, to be given true wisdom in all its perfections. Then there will be a perfection in righteousness, so that man will be so perfectly conformed to the law of God and to the will of God. There will be a perfection in holiness, so that man can be brought into the immediate presence of a holy and a righteous God, to enjoy His communion and to be brought and to be made a partaker of His glory. Thus our fathers, they speak about this life everlasting, and they say that this life everlasting, that is a great comfort. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? To believe that there is a life everlasting, that is not necessarily to our comfort. And why not? Because you and I know that this life everlasting is not the portion of everyone. Thus we understand, yes, then that is a comfort to those who are going to enjoy this life everlasting. And yet there are many who shall enjoy this life everlasting and for whom in this day it is not a comfort. And why not? Because they do not know that they shall enjoy it. And thus this lack of assurance that is taking away from their comforts. Is it possible to be known whether we shall enjoy this life everlasting? Contrary to Rome, our fathers have declared the answer to this question. Yes, certainly it is possible to be known. Although we know that in our days, as the Lord Jesus had said, when the Son of Man comes, shall He find faith on the earth? that the comfort of the full assurance of faith that is in a large part lacking, and yet it is the duty of God's church to seek it by making their calling and election sure. But it is not only in the highest steps of grace that there is comfort. No, our fathers speak otherwise, and we see that in our second thought, life everlasting tasted. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting, that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy? The beginning of eternal joy. Thus our fathers speak about comfort from the experience of the beginning of this life. Is that legitimate? That there is comfort from experiencing the beginning of that life? Yes, that is legitimate. And why? Because what does God say? The gifts and the calling of God are without repentance. Thus, when the Lord indeed has begun that good work within us, the Lord certainly will finish the work of His own hands. The beginning of that true joy that is not in heaven. No, the beginning of that true joy that is experienced already here upon the earth. Our instructors say, I now feel in my heart. The natural man joys in the things of time and sense. And Islam says that the eternal joys are joys which are nothing more than a continuation of the kinds of joys that man experiences here below. Splendid mansions in paradise, beautiful golden couches, and sensual pleasures that man has here below, and these will be continued and they will be increased. We know that there is also much joy spoken of in the modern Christendom of our day. But pretension and reality are two different things. And temporary and saving faith are also of a very different nature. The beginning of eternal joy. When does that begin? Eternal joy that begins in the day of the new birth. That begins in regeneration. Because that is the beginning of eternal life. You say, is that really so? Isn't that not just the opposite? Say, the beginning of eternal joy, does it actually begin with joy? Does it not begin with sorrow? Oh, that is true. It does not begin with a people who are rejoicing. No, it begins with a people who are weeping, who are mourning. And yet, there is another side to this. Because the Lord's congregation does not drive His people, but the Lord is drawing His church. And how does the Lord draw His church? The Lord is drawing His church with love. Thus the Lord is making the heart of His church to burn after Himself. That is something that the people would never exchange for this whole world, even the weeping of that new life. The weeping of that life is a weeping that later they wish they could give themselves once again. How is that possible? when that weeping was only bitterness in the heart, then it would never be desired. But that weeping is not only bitterness. Yes, there is bitterness because of my own sin, but in that weeping there is such a sweetness. In that weeping, in that mourning, there is also a joy. Oh, there is something which is drawing the heart of the people. So that every one of them understands what our fathers are saying here. Since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy. That is the smallest. That is the littlest lamb of that flock of God. Those who may just be born. Then there is joy. Then there is joy to sit under the Word. Joy to come to the house of God. Joy to hear His truth. Say, does not that truth come against them? Does not that truth cut them down? Does that truth not cut their flesh? Does that truth not take away all that they trusted in? Does that truth not make them feel so hopeless and so wretched in themselves? Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And yet you see them coming time and again. Does that truth not make them weep? Oh, yes. And still they are coming to sit and to hear the truth. How is that possible? All because there is in them a joy. There is in them a sweetness of that eternal life that is already felt even in its beginnings. Then it is a joy to meditate upon the things of God. Then it is a joy to go to listen, to hear how that God is converting His children in His house and to listen to God's people speak about their own life. Do you know what is a joy, young people? Then it is a joy to that people to flee from the ways of sin. No, you don't have to force them to do anything. No, that is all on account of that burning that is within their heart. Say, do they not have to give up those things that their flesh loves? Oh, yes, they do. Is it not difficult for them? Sometimes it is very difficult. And yet, they do it. Oh, then no one has to say it to them anymore. No, then they begin to walk so carefully according to the precepts and statutes that are laid out in that holy word of God. Oh, do you feel something of the joy that may be experienced already in the very beginning of this life? That is going to last forever and forever. Oh, there is a joy in true repentance. Not in false repentance. Judas, he also repented. But there was nothing in it but distress. There was nothing in it but despair. That was all from his own side. But in that true repentance, there is such a sweetness. Asaph says, it is good for me to draw nigh unto God. And there is nothing so good when the heart is inclined by the Spirit of the Lord to turn away from all that which that heart sought after in his life and to turn unto the statutes of the Lord, that he may do the will of the Lord, that he may enjoy the service of the Lord. You say, is it not through much tribulation that the people have to enter into the kingdom of God? Oh, yes, it is. Paul says it is in weariness, it is in painfulness, it is in watchings, it is in hungerings, it is in thirstings. And yet, He says, I will glory in the things that concern my infirmities. Glory in them. How is it possible? All because of the joy that our fathers say, I now feel in my heart. And those blessings, so many of those blessings, they belong already even to the sweetness of that first love. They belong to a people whose case is still unsolved, a people that are not able to stand before their judge. How much more then is that joy that is experienced in the deliverance of their soul? Oh, what a joy then for that publican who had to smite upon his breast, O God, be merciful to me, the sinner, and that may go down unto his house justified. Then what a joy, what a beginning of a true and eternal joy may be felt and experienced in his heart. Then what a joy may be experienced by that crucified thief. When he must confess what he is, what he deserves, and that he may hear from the mouth of the Lord, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. Oh, then what a joy that it is for such a condemned sinner to hear from the mouth of the Lord, deliver him from going down into the pit, for I have found a ransom. Oh, Simeon, he may hold the Lord Jesus in his arms. Now he says, Lord, let thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Oh, it is that I now feel in my heart the beginning of this eternal joy. Oh, read it in the Song of Solomon. There you will see, there you will feel something of the joy of that bride in that bridegroom. Oh, he is everything to her. He brought her to the banqueting house, we read, and his banner over her was love. And that joy and that sweetness that was so great that she was not able to hold herself up. And therefore, that complete pouring out of that eternal love that is saved for another time. It is but a taste by times in this world, beginning even in the very beginning of that regeneration, that people may feel and experience something of that eternal joy. But the final pouring out, oh, that has to be reserved. It has to be reserved until a time when that people receive a body that is able to sustain the greatness and the fullness of the glory of God Himself. That we hope to consider with the Lord's help after we sing. Psalter 111, 1, 2, and 3. I waited for the Lord Most High, and He inclined to hear my cry. He took me from destruction's pit and from the miry clay. Upon a rock He set my feet and steadfast made my way. 1, 2, and 3 of 111. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting, that since I now feel in my heart the beginning of eternal joy, after this life I shall inherit perfect salvation, in which I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man to conceive, and that to praise God therein forever. I hath not heard, I hath not seen, nor ear heard. Does not belong to the comprehension of man in this life. It is hid from our eyes. We read Paul caught up unto the third heavens. And there he has seen things that it was not lawful for him to utter. Shall we then end now? Is there then nothing more that we can say? Because we cannot enter into that glory that shall be the portion of God's true church. No, then it is not necessary to end yet. And why not? Because though we cannot comprehend it, and though we cannot enter into this, into the mystery of it, does not mean that everything has been kept from us. Paul says, I have not seen nor ear heard, but God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit. Thus there is a little taste, the little taste that may be experienced in this world, but that fullness is not experienced, and yet there is something in God's Word that is telling what that life is going to be. And thus we will try to say a few things concerning that eternal life. We read in God's Word that it will be the removal of all sin and all of the consequences of sin. And thus everything that was a burden to God's children in this life that is going to be removed. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, nor worketh abomination, or that maketh a lie. What does that mean? That means that that old man who does nothing but work abomination and who is nothing but a lie, he is going to be left out of it. And then not only for the grief of sin, but also all the fruits of sin, all the consequences of sin, they are going to be taken away. Because we read that God shall wipe all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, because the former things are passed away. The sin and all the consequences of sin that is experienced in this world that will be completely missing from this life everlasting. And there we read that God's church is going to come into the immediate presence of God. The Lord Jesus Himself said, and that the pure in heart shall see God. And Job said, in my flesh I shall see God. David said, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake with thy likeness. Or when they behold Him, then they are going to be led by the Spirit of God into all the blessed perfections of the Godhead, into the love of God, into the righteousness of God, into the wisdom of God, into the long-suffering of God, into the goodness of God. And then they are going to eternally glorify and magnify the mercy and the grace of God. Oh, then we read they are going to behold Him face to face, because John says that we shall see Him as He is. And not only will they see Him as He is, but we read that they are going to be like Him. What does that mean? That means that they are going to receive the perfection of that image of God once again. Paul says, but we all, with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Then it is the glory of God that is going to be communicated unto His church. What does the Lord Jesus say? Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Oh, this life. Here below, then God's children, they are longing, if they may receive but one crumb from that Master's table, if they may hear one word out of His precious lips, a small token, the smallest token of the favor of the Lord, all in glory, then that church is going to receive forever and forever the full favor and communion and enjoyment of Him. Then He that sitteth upon the throne, we read, He is going to lead them, and He is going to bring them to those living fountains of waters. And what will that people do? Then they are going to rejoice, we read, in the praises of God. Oh, to cry out day and night without ceasing, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was, who is, and who is to come. And then they will dwell. They will dwell together with all of the children of God, we read, sitting down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Congregation, what comfort. What comfort takest thou from the article of life everlasting? This life, what is it? It is just a little preparation. It is just as a day before that we go to sleep for the night and wake up in the morning. And just as this day that is passing by so very, very quickly. Children, it is afternoon already. And soon the afternoon will be done and the evening will be done. And then you will go to sleep. And in the morning you are, if the Lord will spare you, then you will wake up once again. Oh, that is our life now. That is our life. And we are going unto our sleep. And that sleep that is going to be just a short time. But this life that is also such a short time. And see now what is at stake. Oh, what is at stake. It is not just a little thing that is at stake. No, it is our eternal home. Whether it will be well for us or whether it will be woe for us. Oh, how anxiously we ought to be spending this life to inquire after the need of our soul and the blessed portion of that true church of God. And then we need to know something. We need to know something of the beginning of these eternal joys. If we are going to receive the completion and the perfection of this joy. No, we do not need to know the emotions, the joyful emotions of our flesh. That is now the light of our own fire. And with the light of our own fire, we are going to enter one day into an eternal darkness. But we need to know that joy that is taught by that Holy Spirit of the Lord. We need to know that joy that brings in the dust of self-abasement before Him. Oh, we need to know that joy that brings us into subjection to His holy law. We need to know that joy that brings us to know the reality of our fall and the need, the necessity of that blessed atonement and that free
and that sovereign grace which that people are going to magnify forever and forever. That is now the fruit of the Holy Spirit of the Lord. It begins here, and it continues hereafter, and it never ends. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, instruct us. O teach us, Lord, and awaken us to our death state, that we may have the beginning of that eternal life planted in our souls before that it is forever too late. O teach us the seriousness of this short and fleeting life, that we might hasten for our life's sake while it is still called today. Go thou with us in the week to come. Spare us from all accident and danger. Lord, could it please thee once again to send the rains from the skies as thou hast done it before. Oh, could it please thee to look upon us once again and to give the dry earth to drink, and that thou may supply for us for the needs of this life, and give the rain of thy Spirit upon us and upon our children, that we may not make a league with this world, but that our hearts may be drawn to seek after life everlasting. Forgive all the sins of this day. In speaking and in listening, give us to keep thy Sabbath day holy. Give us profitable reading in our own homes, or if we may be elsewhere in thy house, we ask it in the forgiveness of all that is sinful. For Jesus' sake, amen. 421 stanzas 5 and 6, O God, our shield with face benign, look on thy servant holy thine, and keep him, Lord, thou great defender. 5 and 6 of 421.
clouds enshrine. Thou art our sun and shield forever. Fill upright souls that seek thy face. Thou givest glory truth and grace. Reign in this veil thou failest never. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is he who puts his steadfast trust in thee.
Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.